As I stand before you tonight, it is a struggle for me to stand before you and say good evening, because everything in my brain wants to say good morning. Isn't it funny the way our human mind works? I walked in tonight, and as I'm seeing people and I'm shaking hands, I caught myself at least once saying, good morning, how are you doing? And I'm like, it's evening. Isn't it a funny thing the way our brain does that to us? I was talking with some of the folks from church beforehand about the funny things that our brains do and how, as human beings, we sometimes have to sort of fight against our minds. And we were laughing about a sermon that I'd done a while ago on this thing called the boundary effect. If you're not familiar with the boundary effect, or if you don't remember that sermon, it starts a little bit like, did you know that the pantry in my house is controlled by aliens? I know for a fact that the pantry in my house is controlled by aliens, because every time I walk in it, I forget everything. So there is some sort of weird mind ray thing happening, because I can't remember what I walked in for until I walk back out. That effect, and psychologists call it the boundary effect. The boundary effect is when you are somewhere different, and your brain says, I must be doing something different. So let's take all those short-term memories I had, slide them aside so we're ready for this new thing we're doing in this new space. That's why you'll walk into your pantry and go, what was I in here for? You walk back out, you get two steps out of the pantry and go, spaghetti. That's right. I knew that. I'm making spaghetti. That's not a sign of age. That's just your human brain being human. This is the same reason why you might walk in here, and if you're used to seeing people and saying, good morning, your brain goes, boundary effect, I'm in church, let's say good morning, even though it's now clearly dark outside. The boundary effect. It's nice to know that there's a psychological explanation and that I'm just not losing memory, because memories are important. Memories are incredible, wonderful things. And if we're all honest, we don't have enough of them. Oh, there are things that happen in our life, but if we're really honest, if we had to, there's only so many really crystal clear memories that we can look back on and say, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I think of the days in my life that I can look back and say, ah, I remember everything that happened that day. I remember the day that my wife and I got married. I remember mostly all of the funny things that happened, because she and I laughed a lot that day. And I remember them like it wasn't over 30 years ago. I remember when I was ordained. I remember my grandfather was the worship assistant that day, and I remember how he smiled. He'd been the person who'd always sat next to me in church. I remember when my children were born. Each and every one of them wonderful and different. Separate experiences. Each and every one of them had an entirely different birth story. Not a one of them had the exact same birth story. And if I'm going to be 100% honest with you all, the one that I remember best is my oldest. And it's not because it was the best. In fact, she was our only C-section. It was the terrifying one. She's been fine since then, but she terrified us to begin with. But that's not what I remember. What I remember, and it stands out so sharply to me, is the experience of becoming a father. That moment at which everything in my life took one sharp step to the right. If you don't have children, there's nothing in the world that I can say to you tonight that will prepare you for the day if you have children. Because you're not going to be ready for how it shifts the way you look at the world. You're not going to be ready for how transformative it is. You're not going to be ready for the joy that it brings. Because if I were to remember one thing from that night when my first child was born, it was the absolute and incredible joy that I felt experiencing, knowing that I am now a father. And I'm going to say, hurts to say this out loud, 24 years have gone by. I still enjoy being a father. It still brings great satisfaction and joy to me. And I remember passing through that boundary on that night, that boundary effect of I was one person and then 30 seconds later, I was someone entirely different. I was Russell Yoke, and then I was Dad. The completeness of that experience, the joy that came with that, that memory stands sharply in my mind and always will. It's a little bit of boundary effect there. When your brain says, I'm no longer in the same place I was in, I'm somewhere new. Something new is happening. Something new is being accomplished. Something wonderful. Something transformative. I am a new person. We do a lot of fun things on Christmas, and we celebrate it as much as we can. We bring out every musician who wants to share their gifts. We share in special ceremonies. We light candles that we don't normally light. We read readings we don't normally read. We decorate in ways we don't decorate. It is all with the intention of helping us to experience that moment in the history of the earth. In all of creation, really, as much as I was in that hospital room with the doctors when my first child was born, waiting, anticipating, worrying a little bit, yes. Humanity and all of creation waited on the night of Jesus' birth. They stood on the cusp of the coming of the promised Savior, one who had been promised to come from the beginning of time. All of creation stood waiting and watching, knowing that when Christ arrived, that would be the event that transformed everything. This is why we make a big deal out of Christmas. This is why we decorate, why we celebrate, why we bake, why we string lights. It's why we come and worship and sing and praise. It's to recognize that moment in which the world became something new. Because the joy that all of creation experienced with the birth of Christ is so much greater than anything else we can experience in any other part of our life. Before there was no Savior, before there was no guarantee of hope, no guarantee of salvation, there was only worry, fear, lostness. And then Christ arrived. And in that moment, everything changed. Because to us, the Savior was given. To us, the child was born. We became a new family. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. And sometimes I will hear folks talking about what Christmas means to them. And I will hear folks say things like, well, for me, what's most important, what really matters, what I think Christmas is about, and every time somebody says the true meaning of Christmas is, I tense up a little bit because I never know what somebody's going to say. You know, I'm like, oh, please be the birth of Christ. Please be the birth of Christ. Please be the birth of Christ. The true meaning of Christmas is spending time with family. I bristle at that sometimes just a little bit because I'm like, well, that's marvelous. It's great. You should do that. That's wonderful. But the true meaning of Christmas is, of course, the birth of Christ. But if you think about it a little bit deeper, what is it that the birth of Christ made happen? Is it that we became a new family? That once we were separated, we were alone, we were opposed to one another, we were lost. And then Christ came in order that we might all be called sons and daughters of God Most High, that we might be gathered together into this incredible family that is the body of Christ, that we might become brothers and sisters, that we might be bound with those that God loves, that we might be a family. In which case, I suppose the true meaning of Christmas is spending time with your family. As long as you understand that the birth of Christ symbolized the beginning of a new one. We don't gather together on Christmas Eve with strangers. We don't gather together on Christmas Eve with congregation members. We don't gather together on Christmas Eve with dear, dear friends. We gather together on Christmas Eve with family. The sad note, the family of First Lutheran, many of you might know we lost one of our brothers recently, Jack Hoover, former council president here at First Lutheran. Christmas is here to remind us that that family doesn't know an end. Christmas is here to remind us that that family does not even respect the boundary of death. Christmas is here to remind us that as much as you and I are gathered together in this place to celebrate the birth of Christ Jesus and to share joy in that, Jack's right here with us. Because there is nothing in all the world that can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, neither heights nor depths, nor powers nor principalities, nor life nor death itself. If that sounded familiar, Paul wrote it, I didn't. It's from the book of Romans. The family of God knows no boundaries. Our loved ones who are in the kingdom of God ahead of us are still with us. Because in Christ, the new epoch in human history, we are promised to live with Christ, in Christ, forever. The gift of Christ is life, life abundant, and life eternal. And that on this weekend, we share in the certain knowledge that we are bound into this new family through the birth of Christ. And there is nothing that can separate us from one another or God in heaven. As marvelous as it was when my children were born, and I remember each and every birth with enormous joy, as marvelous as it was when I passed that boundary and I said to myself, oh my goodness, I'm a dad. As marvelous as that was, all of creation, all of heaven and earth, the angels above, men below, we all passed that moment of Christ's birth and we said, and now we are family. Bound to our Father in heaven, through the Son that is with us, there's nothing that can separate us. We are in Christ. We are in Christ together. We are in Christ forever. And Christ is with us. We give thanks for that knowledge, the hope that brings hope against all loss, the truth that brings light in the midst of our darkest moments. We are those who have received the gift. Amen.